I called to Don Juan for help. At one moment I yelled frantically at the top of my voice, but Don Juan did not move. He kept on looking at me, sideways, as though he didn't want to turn his head to face me fully. I took a step toward him, but instead of moving forward, I staggered backward and fell against the wall. I knew I had rammed against it with my back, yet it did not feel hard. I was completely suspended in a soft, spongy substance. It was the wall. My arms were stretched out laterally, and slowly my whole body seemed to sink into the wall. I could only look forward into the room. Don Juan was still watching me, but he made no move to help me. I made a supreme effort to jerk my body out of the wall, but it only sank deeper and deeper. In the midst of indescribable terror, I felt that the spongy wall was closing in on my face. I tried to shut my eyes, but they were fixed open. I don't remember what else happened. Suddenly, Don Juan was in front of me, a short distance away. We were in the other room. I saw his table and the dirt stove with the fire burning, and with the corner of my eye I distinguished the fence outside the house. I could see everything very clearly. Don Juan had brought the kerosene lantern and hung it from the beam in the middle of the room. I tried to look in a different direction, but my eyes were set to see only straight forward. I couldn't distinguish or feel any part of my body. My breathing was undetectable, but my thoughts were extremely lucid. I was clearly aware of whatever was taking place in front of me. Don Juan walked toward me, and my clarity of mind ended. Something seemed to stop inside me. There were no more thoughts. I saw Don Juan coming, and I hated him. I wanted to tear him apart. I could have killed him then, but I could not move. At first, I vaguely sensed a pressure on my head, but it also disappeared. There was only one thing left, an overwhelming anger at Don Juan. I saw him only a few inches from me. I wanted to claw him apart. I felt I was groaning. Something in me began to convulse. I heard Don Juan talking to me. His voice was soft and soothing, and I felt infinitely pleasing. He came even closer and started to recite a Spanish lullaby. A warmth pervaded me. It was a warmth of heart and feelings. Don Juan's words were a distant echo. They recalled the forgotten memories of childhood. The resentment changed into a longing, a joyous affection for Don Juan. He said I must struggle not to fall asleep, that I no longer had a body and was free to turn into anything I wanted. Either I moved forward or he came closer to me. His hands were almost on my face, on my eyes, although I did not feel them. "Get inside my chest," I heard him say. I felt I was engulfing him. It was the same sensation of the sponginess of the wall. Then I could hear only his voice commanding me to look and see. I could not distinguish him anymore. My eyes were apparently open, for I saw flashes of light on a red field. It was as though I was looking at a light through my closed eyelids. Then my thoughts were turned on again. They came back in a fast barrage of images, faces, scenery. Scenes without any coherence popped up and disappeared. It was like a fast dream in which images overlap and change. Then the thoughts began to diminish in number and intensity, and soon they were gone again. There was only an awareness of affection, of being happy. I couldn't distinguish any shapes or light. All of a sudden I was pulled up. I distinctly felt I was being lifted, and I was free, moving with tremendous lightness and speed in water or air. I swam like an eel. I contorted and twisted and soared up and down at will. I felt a cold wind blowing all around me, and I began to float like a feather, back and forth, down and down and down. Saturday, December 28, 1963. I woke up yesterday late in the afternoon. Don Juan told me I had slept peacefully for nearly 2 days. I had a splitting headache. I drank some water and got sick. I felt tired, extremely tired, and after eating, I went back to sleep. Today I felt perfectly relaxed again. Don Juan and I talked about my experience with the little smoke. Thinking that he wanted me to tell the whole story the way I always did, I began to describe my impressions, but he stopped me and said it was not necessary. He told me I had not really done anything, and that I had fallen asleep right away, so there was nothing to talk about. "Well, how about the way I felt? Isn't that important at all?" I insisted. "No, not with the smoke. Later on, when you learn how to travel, we'll talk. When you learn how to get into things." "Does one really get into things?" "Don't you remember? You went into and through that wall." "I think I really went out of my mind." No, you didn't. I really felt I had lost my body, Don Juan. You did. But you saw me as I am now, didn't you? No, you were not as you are now. True, I admit that, but I had my body, didn't I, although I couldn't feel it. No, goddammit, you did not have a body like the body you have today. Well, what happened to my body, then? I thought you understood. The little smoke took your body. But where did it go? Well, how in the hell do you expect me to know that? It was useless to persist in trying to get a rational explanation. I told him I did not want to argue or to ask stupid questions, but if I accepted the idea that it was possible to lose my body, I would lose all my rationality. He said that I was exaggerating, as usual, and that I did not, nor was I going to, lose anything because of the little smoke. Tuesday, January 28th, 1964. I asked Don Juan again to tell me about my appearance. I wanted to know how I looked, for the image of a bodiless being he had planted in my mind was understandably unbearable. He said that to tell the truth he was afraid to look at me. He felt the same way his benefactor must have felt when he saw Don Juan smoking for the first time. Well, why were you afraid? Was I that frightening? I asked. I had never seen anyone smoking before. Didn't you see your benefactor smoke? No. You've never seen even yourself? How could I? You could smoke in front of a mirror. He did not answer, but stared at me and shook his head. What would happen if I smoked in front of a camera and took a picture of myself? I don't know. The smoke would probably turn against you. But I suppose you find it so harmless you feel you can play with it.